So today we will continue to talk about the restoration of the tabernacle of David. It is such an important theme for today. So I would like to remind you of what we talked about last week. Briefly reminder, only in 35 minutes reminder. Amos 9, 11, 12. In that day I will raise up David's fallen sukkah. I will restore its breaches, raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in days of old, so they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations called by my name. It is a declaration of Adonai, the one who will do this. No question. He's the Adonai. He's doing that. In the book of the prophet Amos, in chapter 9, the Lord makes a promise. He says that in the end times, the fallen tabernacle of David will be restored. The glory of the Lord and his presence will return to Zion, and the spiritual awakening of the Jewish people will take place. We are witnesses. And at the same time, with the restoration and repentance of the Jewish people, a spiritual awakening through faith in Yeshua will be poured out through the whole earth. As a result of it, many people from all the tribes of the earth will come to repentance and faith in God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Yeshua, our Jewish Messiah. Today we live in a very special moment in time, a prophetic time when the Lord is restoring the fallen tabernacle of David. Amen, amen. But unfortunately, most of the world is not prepared to recognize and understand this special time. On one hand, most of Christianity has wandered far from the Jewish roots of the Bible, observing many traditions which have no Bible foundation. Unfortunately. On the other hand, most of Orthodox Judaism has gone far from a biblical faith. The faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, focusing rather on traditions, ritual, and the doing of good deeds instead of faith and trust following the Lord. So let me give a brief history lesson in a couple thousand years, actually. Messianic Jewish apostles clearly documented what happened to them when they first became disciples of Yeshua, and what their lives were like going forward from that moment as they preached a good news to other Jews and other nations. They documented it carefully. And the Bible is that documentation. So I have a question. Who has a Bible with him? Who has digital scriptures? Oh, looks like we are going into 21st century, yeah. The Bible is that documentation and supplies the details of the Lord's restoration and relationships with the Jews and other across time, and especially during time of restoration of David's tabernacle, about today's time. Much of these messages is addressed directly to Jews and was written in the context of events being experienced by the Jewish people of that day. We need to understand that. The scriptures, first, it is the Jewish book. At first, it was written to the Jewish people. We need to understand that. Jewish prophets and apostles who wrote Bible used very direct and impartial words sometimes, describing the states of their people and this calling of God's people to tshuva, to repentance, and a life of service to the Lord. They use direct words, Jewish apostles, to the Jewish people. It was a family thing, inside of the family. But when the Jewish context is removed from the beautiful documentation, what is left allows many opportunities to misunderstand and seems to have many apparent contradictions without Jewish context. Many scriptures through which the Lord once spoke correction to Israel through the prophets, now are conveniently misused by those searching for reason to persecute and destroy the Jewish people. Because when you take away the context, the idea of the scriptures, what is left, it is very dangerous. It is a terrible misinterpretation of scripture. One must always remember that the Lord treats the Jewish people as his firstborn forever. He is the Father. He is the Father. He is the Father. In much the same way that we raise our children, as they grow, they make mistakes. Or it's happened only with my family. I can tell you, my mom had to correct me many times, and sometimes it was really painful. But what to do? I'm really grateful for that. Then make mistakes. It can be very disappointing, and we know they need correction. Sometimes they may need discipline. So we educate them, we speak truth to them, we deal with their problems, and we try to shape their character. It is our intention. This is a necessary expression of our love, of our desire to see them grow into righteous adults. It is a part of family and family relationships. The Lord's relationship with Jewish people is much like that a father with his firstborn. For example, we see this in the book of the prophet Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, please remember this. Verse 2. From afar Adonai appeared to me. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It is about Israel. Whole chapter in the context, it's about Israel. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Yeah, the same way. English is a very tricky language. Everlasting. What does it mean in English? 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 year, 2 years. Eternity. Everlasting. Forever. The Lord loves his children with perfect love. And as a young developing religion, Christianity became alienated from its Jewish roots. This is the history. This is the history. It began to claim ownership of these rights to these descriptions, to the blessing God had promised to Israel, and by extension, to the apostles and to the Messiah himself. Sometimes people, they don't remember that this was the Jewish apostles, Jewish people, Jewish guys. James, actually, he was Yaakov. Amen. Okay, it's quiet here. I hope you agree with me. I will read, if you disagree with me, we can talk after the service. I can handle this discussion. People stopped seeing Yeshua as a Jewish Messiah and rabbi, because he was a rabbi, he was a Jewish Messiah, and begin to see him as a person with a Greek background. Many years ago, when Ina and I were walking on the streets of Jerusalem, it was very difficult and almost impossible to find a Jewish Yeshua there. Because everything there showed him as a Catholic, a Greek, an Armenian, a Protestant, and a Russian Orthodox Jesus. Right in Jerusalem. Everything about Jesus, it was foreigner to the Jewish people. Obviously, this non-Jewish Christianity still found much in the scriptures that was completely Jewish, but now had to find a way to explain it. The answer was simply to appropriate it for all themselves, for the Christians. Although church roots lie in Judaism, biblical Judaism, not rabbinical, but biblical Judaism. Council after council, priests were forbidden to allow any mention of Jewish origin, the Jewish Messiah, the Jewish word of God, the Jewishness of apostles, biblical Jewish holidays. It was forbidden for centuries. They tried to cancel everything good, which is the scriptural. As a result, the history of the church and the nature of its origin were rewritten. With deeply tragic consequences, not only for the church, but for all society. And those consequences remain to this day, such a thing as anti-Semitism. Sometimes it comes from people who think they believe in God, think they worship to Jesus, who actually was a Jew. Much was canceled that had prophetic value, much that was part of God's Jewish educational system, which showed his plans for the future. It is so important for the body of Messiah. How tragically said that for millennia, Christians were denied the divine education and blessings of the Jewish Bible, of the Jewish scriptures. That institution that we call the church, instead of being a family and a community of believers, for many centuries became, for the most part, a hierarchical political structure. It began to supply kings to the countries and played a leading political role in the world for many dark ages. And you know the history. If you don't know yet, please open and read it. It is very obvious, everything there. You can't change history. But you know what? We are living very beautiful, amazing time. Today, all over the face of the earth, we are now witnessing tremendous transformation in the churches. We see the restoration of an awareness of the richness of the Jewish heritage that has been ignored for so many centuries. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What is the movie right now there? Documentary movie about life of Yeshua. Chosen. Oh. Okay. Small. We are now engaged in the restoration of the Jewish Messianic community, which we read about in the book of Acts. We are rebuilding a community in which Jews and non-Jews, look at here, can worship together and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a miracle. While maintaining Jewish identity and the Jewish context of worship, it's a miracle. It never happened for centuries. Now we live in it. It is normal. Every Shabbat experience for us. How great is our Lord. And we can feel the presence of the Ruach HaKodesh, Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. We worship and serve the Lord God through his anointed Son, the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, proclaimed, birthed, slain, risen, returned, interceding at the right hand of the Father, Yeshua, the Messiah. Through the ministry of the Messianic communities, we show this Messiah to our people of Israel, a Messiah who was sent to the Jewish people first, a Messiah who was, who is, and will always be. And his kingdom, as said in scriptures, is everlasting kingdom. His name Yeshua, the name which the angel revealed to his family, the name which he was called by his parents, his brothers, and all the Jews. The only name by which man can be saved. That name means salvation. Yeshua, salvation. Let's say together, salvation. This name is a beautiful name. Has the beautiful meaning. The Lord, our salvation. Millions around the globe often pray, Jesus, I want to know you as you are. Open yourself to me. I want to know you. I want to know your name. I want to know everything about you. If we are sincere in this prayer, we must remember and know his real name. It is a very small part of our expression of love to him. When you pray in the Hebrew name of Yeshua, you will realize over and over again that this is the Jewish Messiah who renewed the Lord's covenant with Israel first and with all nations of the earth. You know, I want to step aside and say a couple of words here. I can't hold myself. It's going from me, out of me. Some people are so used to the name from the Greek that they believe God hears their prayers better when they pray in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a tradition sometimes. And it's good to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have anything against it. But I want to say about his Jewishness, who he really is. Some people, actually I know some people, have understood that Jesus had a last name, Christ. His father and mother were Mr. and Mrs. Christ. What a mess. Christ came from Greek, which came right from Messiah, Mashiach, anointed one. Jesus means Yeshua, our salvation. This true story, no jokes. Please don't laugh here. It is serious. And don't tell anyone. This is our secret. I remember once I saw a Sunday school book. True. And there was a question for the children. Question was, children, when Jesus was young, where did he spend his Sunday mornings? And the answer was, of course, in the church, because he was a good Christian. Thank you, Elizabeth. You got my joke. It's a tragedy. It's a problem. It needs to be healed, changed. However, the apostles and the first messianic believers prayed in the name of Yeshua, and the Lord heard them perfectly and answered them. And the demons obeyed. You know, demons know Hebrew. They just flew from him. And the diseases went away in the name of Yeshua, who is our Savior, who is salvation. An amazing thing. Today we see the miraculous fulfillment. Indeed, we see ourselves right here as the fulfillment of the prophecies of the restoration of the Jewish people. We are here, the living prophecy. Right now, today, May 1st, 2021. So Mazel Tov, congregation. Hebrew, once considered a dead language, has now been restored from oblivion to be spoken by an entire nation, from death to life. In one day, by the United Nations decree, the state of Israel was restored to a part of its historical, God-given territory, giving us the confidence that in time, the fulfillment will be complete. We see the fulfillment of God's promises, which were spoken through the Hebrew prophets. For example, Isaiah 66, verse 8. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Can a land be born in one day? Is it possible? Of course it is not possible. It is not possible. Can a nation be brought forth at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. This is about restoration of Israel. We as the Jewish Messianic community participate in the fulfillment of God's most important prophecies related to spiritual restoration of the Jewish people. Mazel Tov, we're part of it. Restoring Israel's relationship with God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Yeshua, the Messiah, is the most important part of the restoration of the Jewish people. It is the most important part, life from the death. How important it is to know that Yeshua did not come to establish a new religion. It was not his job. He came to cut a new covenant with his people and through his people to share this covenant with all nations of the world. We can find it in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. When I read it to somebody, sometimes people say to me, it's a New Testament. It's from Paul's writings or somewhere. No, it is Jeremiah 31, 31. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, a new testament, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. First, with house of Israel and Judah, and to all the nations of the world through them. And it happened. God created his people, gave them laws, promises, various forms of sacrifice, all of which testify to the coming of the Messiah, in whom even non-Jews will have hope, all the nations of the world. Therefore, today the Lord is restoring thousands of Jewish messianic communities and synagogues around the world. This took the form of a movement. This is a global transformation in the body of Messiah in society right now, today. I want to tell you one more truth and one more secret. And you know, in the Jewish world, when you say, don't say anyone, don't say anybody, it will be known by everyone. We remember when Yeshua once said, do not tell anyone. And this guy stood up and we know about it after centuries, thousands of years. As a messianic congregations, as a messianic community, we are a bridge between two banks, the Jewish world and the non-Jewish church. For Israel, we are Jews who are believers in Yeshua. For the church, we are believers in Yeshua. At the same time, we are Jews. This faith unites the Messianic community and the Christian world. And from the Christian church, which the gathering of believers from different nations who join Israel through the Jewish Messiah. Together, believers in Yeshua from both the Messianic Jews community and from the Christian church make up the Ecclesia, the body of Messiah. We need each other. We need each other. It is one of our main roles to be a bridge, to build understanding between Jewishness and Jesus. Who is a Jew? Who came from the tribe of Judah? Who was born in Israel? It's a beautiful. So this was the small and short history lesson. Now let's go in the scriptures. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And let's find everything in the scriptures. Romans 11, verse 25. For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be ignorant of this mystery. When I read this, it's kind of, Paul had a great sense of humor. He says, guys, you think, are you smart? I don't want you to be really not so smart. Lest you be wise in your own eyes. Do not be prideful. That a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. We talked about it. All Israel will be saved. No question, no doubts. The Lord promised it. As it is, For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own eyes, that a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So I would like to pick one word here. The fullness. Let's say together, the fullness. It is not about numbers of Gentiles. The fullness in Greek, pleroma, means fullness, completeness, and fulfillment. The same word, pleroma, we can find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Fullness. The quality, not the number. Not the number of Gentiles comes, door is closed, now it's salvation for the Jewish people. No, it's their own theology. Fullness of understanding. Fullness of the body of Messiah. In the context of the entire 11th chapter, if you will read all the chapter, and please do at home, of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, we can see that fullness is the restoration of the Jewish component in the body of the Messiah, is the restoration of the Jewish identity, of the Jewish roots in the body of Messiah. It means the maturing of God's community by accepting the Jewish roots of faith as a very important and fundamental part of its relationship with God. It is an important part. This is what the Lord is doing right now around the globe, and we are a part of this restoration. When people who believe in Jesus understand the Jewish roots of faith and make that understanding a part of their daily life, then fullness comes. It is especially verse 25. It is a beautiful place of scripture. And with the arrival of that fullness, people from other nations become like Ruth, accepting and knowing and living by faith in the God of Israel. And I want to read a beautiful picture, book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, prophetic picture. Ruth replied, "Do not plead with me to abandon you, to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May Adonai deal with me, and worse, if anything but death comes between me and you." What a powerful and a prophetic statement from Ruth, who was a Moabite woman. And do you remember that the Lord commanded, do not accept Moabites into community of the Lord. They were forbidden to come into the community of the Lord. But because of her decision and her faith, she became not only a grandmother of the great king of David, but a cherished member of the lineage of Messiah Yeshua. I believe it is a picture of people from other nations who decided to follow Yeshua, the Messiah, and by faith became a part of the body of Messiah. It's a beautiful. Ruth the Moabite is another example of this messianic bridge between non-Jews and Jews, so that both can enter the worship and the tabernacle of David, even as they did in ancient times. How wonderful it is this, that our community consists of Jews and non-Jews as a fulfillment of the word of God for all the peoples of the earth. And we have unity here. We are united by the Messiah in one body. And to demonstrate that salvation is available to all peoples of the earth. So now let's go a little bit practical here. Many people today ask themselves this question: how to restore what was destroyed and lost over the generations? How to return to fullness, to pleroma? So it is long story. We can dig it here for hours, but I would like to pick only one and a beautiful way how to restore what was lost for generations. Very practical, very simple, but one of the easiest ways to go into that restoration. We can find this way in today's Torah portion, Torah chapter. Leviticus 23, through the return to the Jewish roots of the faith. And Leviticus 23, verse 1 and 2. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Bnei Israel and tell them, these are the appointed times, Moadim in Hebrew, of Adonai, which you are to proclaim to be holy convocations, my feasts, my Moadim. You know the truth, the meeting place and time cannot be changed. First, we need to read here. There is no word as Jewish holidays here. You won't find it, Jewish holidays. Yes, it is Jewish holidays. But it is not only Jewish holidays. It is not only for Jews. They are the Lord's holidays for all the peoples of the earth. The Lord described these holidays as Moadim. Moadim, the word Moed, has a number of meanings that are more appropriate to describe a business meeting than a holiday. It means appointed time, appointed day, appointed meeting, appointed place. He is the king. He appointed the time. We arrive on time to meet with him. And you know what? And we had better be there on time. It is good for us. He is the Lord. The Lord clearly outlined his position regarding this special time when the children of Israel should come before him. It can be said in another way. God's holidays are the official days of reception, the dates by which mankind verifies its position. We do not have the rights to cancel what the Lord has established forever. Forever. Our remembrance of the history of the Jewish people connects those ancient generations with us today, with people living in the 21st century. On this day, Jews across the face of the earth unite at these appointed times, these certain days of the year, in the annual observation of God's appointed time. The rabbis, explaining the meaning of the biblical Jewish holidays, said that besides the fact that God reveals his will and himself through them, through the holidays, their essence and difference from holidays of other nations is that believers in the God of Israel do not just remember events from the distant past, do not just perform mitzvot or commandments. They relive what they celebrate again and again. And this is a major point here. And yet another significance of these appointed times, which the rabbis may have overlooked, is that they also point forward. The main theme of the appointed times is the future salvation and deliverance. They are historical and they are prophetic. They narrate the past and they foreshadow the future. They have a foundation and they have a fullness of time. In short, God's appointed times are central to God's university. They are God's incredible teaching tools, which increase our understanding, even as we experience what we celebrate. We love the love of God towards his people. It is very important to remember. So I would like to go through all these holidays, and you know, we have a couple more hours only. So, but very quick, very fast. Pesach. Pesach. The Exodus from Egypt through the seven blood of the sacrificial lamb, Pesach, indicates the atoning death of the Lamb of God for all humanity and the release of every believer from the slavery of sin and death. Pesach, it is alive today. Shavuot or Pentecost. Some people think that Pentecost was first celebrated in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. No, Pentecost from Hebrew, Shavuot. It is ancient biblical Jewish holiday. Shavuot, Pentecost, in Jewish tradition, it was the day when the tablets were given on Sinai. It is a harvest festival in Israel. It was the time when the priest shook the offering of sheaves before the face of the Lord. Indicates the bringing of first fruits to the Lord. the descent of the Holy Spirit on the disciples of Yeshua and the birth of the first messianic community, Shavuot. These are two Moadim that we observe in the spring. These spring feasts are observation of prophetic events that were fulfilled thousands of years ago in Jerusalem. And for those who think that holidays are not important, I know it's not for us, but maybe somebody will listen to us. Please think about why they are important to the Lord. Yeshua was crucified on Pesach, right on Pesach. And that event ushered in a new period, a messianic era. The Holy Spirit descended on Shavuot, exactly on Shavuot, in Jerusalem. And the great miracle happened. The Lord descended into the hearts of people. He wrote His Torah, His instruction on their hearts. It is so important. The final three Moadim are called the fall feasts. We haven't seen their prophetic fulfillment, but we should know which day of the biblical calendar to expect it. After all, God works by His calendar. We now live in the end times, the last days, as we await their fulfillment, because they will close out the current age and all will be made new. So the first, Rosh Hashanah, first of the fall feasts, the festival of the Shofar blessed, the new year, the beginning of the days of judgment. This prophetic feast will be fulfilled when Yeshua comes to this earth a second time as a judge and king with the sound on shofars and heavenly trumpets. You remember Shavuot here? We had beautiful shofar team. So beautiful to stay here, to stand in this presence. Yom Kippur points us to the coming judgment of God over all the nations of the earth. It will be at this time that every person who lived on earth will receive a sentence corresponding to his deeds and his life. For those who have lived a life without faith, eternal torment. For the righteous who are redeemed by the sacrifice of Yeshua, the eternal justification and mercy of the Lord. And the last holiday of Sukkot, in which all people are commanded to live 7 days in the tent. And I would like to read prophetic picture of Sukkot. It is Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4. This is about Sukkot. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and He shall tabernacle among them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, nor shall there be mourning or crying or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away. Amen. Amen. Such a beautiful time we live in. I want to pray. Lord, thank you so much for your presence right here in this place. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your restoration, Lord, to be part of your beautiful, beautiful temple, to be part of your beautiful sukkah, the beautiful tabernacle, tabernacle of David, Lord. Thank you so much for your presence with us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk in your freedom, Lord. Help us to shine with your light, Lord. Help us to set free people around us, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, we thank you. Amen. Amen. So let us close our service with Aaronic benediction, with Aaron's blessing. Let us stand in the presence of the Lord. In the end, I want to remind you if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. So let us pray. Yeverecha Adonai veishmerecha. Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.